Spirit Magazine, June 2023 edition. This month's cover is a mountainous coastal region right on the beach. Spirit, June 2023. Dear readers, I love books. Yes, I know that's a kooky and boring sentence to begin a letter, but I do love books. I love bookstores. A night spent at Barnes & Noble is a good one spent. And yes, I love other activities too, but reading has been a lifelong delight. This month, with the whole summer ahead of us to enjoy, I will share a few of my favorite ways to appreciate books. First of all, audiobooks. Every night I listen to audiobooks to fall asleep. At the risk of sounding like a bit of an oddball, audiobooks have a particular charm to them because you hear a book read as a story. The nuances of each individual's perceptions of a book make the read different depending on who's narrating. I also love to see movie interpretations done well, of course. The Lord of the Rings trilogy is a wonderful take on the trilogy of books, in my view. It's sometimes incredible to see the worlds you've visualized be imagined by someone else. But nothing can beat reading the book yourself. Anywhere I go, any mood I'm in, I can find a book to suit. It's a great comfort to have that hobby, a real hobby that broadens horizons, bridges cultures, and that can be endlessly entertaining. Love, Editor Janu. Be sure to share your thoughts and opinions by emailing me at editorjanu@thehappyherald.org. This month's quote of the month for June 2023 is, "Books are a uniquely portable magic," and this is said by Stephen King. Jane and the Fire, by Janu. Jane is back. In 1958, young Jane has just moved to the city of Chicago, Illinois, with her parents and cousins. Jane has forced two very mysterious but almost definitely dangerous characters to stop their van, as she suspects they're the ones who've got her friends. But upon closer inspection, it seems for the moment that she might be wrong. There were stacks of bricks, and even as she climbed into the truck and looked around behind the piles, she could see no trace of her cousins or friends. "But I saw you carrying a sack," she cried, outraged. "Well," said the man who had helped her flag them down, "there isn't a sack here, only bricks." "Quite good, my right sir," said Jigger, smiling, which turned quickly to a frown as Jan stepped hard on his foot. "Quite right, my good sir." "If you don't remember what to say, check the paper," hissed Jan. Again, Jane was the only one to hear him. The bystanders dispersed after apologizing for their untoward interruption. A few gave Jane a dark look and a murmured threat about crying wolf. She stood frozen by her bike. As the van drove off, a brown piece of paper flew over into her face. "Things," she read, "to say if you get caught." "What?" There's an image here of the paper that is described. It was a wrinkled piece of paper with the exact script Jan and Jigger had used to belay the bystanders inquiring into their activities. And there's a brown wrinkled piece of paper here. It says, "Things to say if you get caught. We're quite innocent salesfolk working humbly for a living. If you really must inquire so rudely," and there are several scribbled tips about how to address inquirers. It says, "Smile, look the people in their eyes, be patient and respectful, quantity beats quality every time," and other such phrases. Jane stuffed the paper into her pocket and hopped onto her bike, mind racing as her feet raced to pedal faster. Again, the complete and utter junkiness of the vehicle didn't make it too difficult to keep following it, though it had a head start. "I had my back turned when I went to grab Don's bike," Jane thought. "That must be when they displaced the sack. The back of the van is quite large, but the space filled with bricks only took up less than half of that space, but there was still a closed wall at the back of the truck." She moved from the main road to the sidewalk, biking around pedestrians. "There must be a secret compartment in the van," she concluded to herself. "We've all been tricked." The van pulled to a halt at the edge of the Irving Park neighborhood. Jane hid the bike behind a dumpster nearby and crouched behind a tree to watch. There's an image of a dark street and a light-colored building, a dirty wall, and a bike parked at the edge of that building. Horrified, but grimly aware that she had been well and truly pranked, she observed Jan open the trunk of the van from the front of the vehicle, just behind the driver's seat. "Out! This way!" Her cousins and friends, struggling and wriggling, climbed out of the van in a line, but their efforts to get away were useless. Jan ushered them toward an empty storefront a block away. Jigger climbed into the back of the van, where the bricks were still stacked. With a good deal of effort, he pushed and pushed the wall of the brick half of the truck backwards until it met the trunk of the van. Then he, too, went towards the shop. Jane knew she had limited time to decide what to do. She could follow them into the shop, but what could she do against Jigger, Jan, and whatever cronies they had in there? She could spy on them until she thought of a plan, or she could run for the cops right away. But the police were far away. Before she could decide, she heard a sharp whisper. "Jane!" Read on next month to find out what happens next. Fruit of the month. From Valencia with love, oranges. Oranges come in many varieties, but perhaps the most summery and citrusy one, in my mind at least, is the fancy, delicious Valencia orange. Sweet and juicy, with an elegant Spanish name, Valencias were first grown in that Spanish city, before rising in popularity for their perfect summery nature. Valencia oranges are the primary orange used in orange juice. Being summer oranges, they are exposed to more sunlight and warmth, which sometimes causes some regreening, which is reactivation of the green pigment in orange peel. But that color doesn't affect the ripeness or sweetness at all, so don't be tricked by it. Valencias are full of vitamin C, making them great to boost and strengthen immunity. Also, you know what the sailors say, it staves off scurvy. Valencia oranges are good for skin health, making skin stay healthy and youthful. Vitamin C and antioxidants contained in Valencia oranges contribute to this property. Potassium, vitamin A, and again vitamin C in Valencia oranges contribute to eye health. Flavonoids in oranges helps reduce cholesterol, thereby promoting heart health. Cholesterol blocking up arteries is dangerous for heart health. Valencia oranges contain vitamin C, which helps the body produce collagen, which in turn prevents hair loss. Spirit Athletics, June 2023. Jack Eichel never gives up. Spirit's sports team is thrilled to highlight the close-to-home success story of Jack Eichel. Born and raised in North Chelmsford, Massachusetts, Jack is a professional ice hockey player and a member of the NHL team Vegas Golden Knights. In June 2023, Jack and the Vegas Golden Knights won their maiden Stanley Cup, the ultimate dream of every single hockey player to skate on ice. The signs were clear quite early, but though Eichel was touted as a member of a rising class of generational talents in hockey, it was never a guarantee to win the Stanley Cup. He played for the USA Hockey National Team Development Program when he was 14 years old. Recognized for his outstanding play, he was named to the United States Hockey League second All-Star team. Eichel became the second freshman in collegiate history to win the Hobey Baker Award as a first year at Boston University. In 40 games with BU, Eichel led the nation in scoring 26 goals and 45 assists with 71 points. He was the Hockey East scoring champion, Player of the Year, Rookie of the Year, and was named MVP of the conference tournament in 2014. In the 2015 NHL draft, Eichel was selected by the Buffalo Sabres at second overall pick as a franchise savior. With his explosive speed, power, creativity, and size, he was expected to bring the Stanley Cup to Buffalo. But the Sabres had to extend the NHL's longest playoff drought despite Jack's individual success. In a March 2021 game, Jack hit his head against the boards, which resulted in a herniated disc in his neck, leaving him forced to miss the rest of the season. The team wanted to protect their investment. 8 years and an $80 million contract signed in 2017 by doing anterior cervical discectomy fusion surgery, the traditional standard for NHL players. But Jack and his personal medical advisors chose to do an artificial disc replacement, or ADR surgery, a procedure that had never been performed on an NHL player before, in consideration for his long-term health benefits. According to the collective bargaining agreement for the NHLPA, hockey teams get the final say over a player's medical care. Going against any professional team is akin to David fighting Goliath, but Eichel never wavered on his goals and priorities. In November of 2021, he was traded to the Las Vegas Golden Knights, and a week later, his ADR surgery was performed. The rest is history now. Eichel made the most of his career-first playoff experience by leading the entire NHL with 26 points and helping the Vegas Golden Knights to hoist their first championship trophy ever. He continues to inspire all of hockey, from the NHL all the way back to North Chelmsford. And there's a picture here of Eichel celebrating as a Golden Knight on the ice. My experience attending Catholic school as a Hindu. As long as I can remember, I have been blessed with the opportunity to attend Catholic school. My earliest formative memories took place at our first home in Lowell and at Star of Bethlehem Preschool, which was housed in a beautiful congregational church. I look back so fondly at the nativity activities and little Christian songs we were taught in the school's gym, which was named Fellowship Hall. I attended elementary and middle school at St. Jeanne d'Arc School, which imbued in me some of my most cherished values. We learned the importance of respect and discipline under the watchful eye of the staff and our principal, Sister Priscilla. Religion class was mandatory, where we learned life lessons through scripture. We recited the Lord's Prayer and said the Rosary. I learned to draw strength from the prayer of St. Joan and the prayer of St. Ignatius, which I still recite from time to time. We would walk every now and then to St. Rita's Church for Mass. Each older student would be assigned a younger student partner, and it was our responsibility to walk with them over to the church. We would almost march out the door, chests puffed with the honor of being old enough to help with this. I remember all the prayers that we said, learning the Golden Rule and the stunning stained glass images of saints in the windows of St. Rita's. Now, I've just graduated from Central Catholic High School. Some of my best memories have been with campus ministry as a retreat leader. I've assisted with liturgies and led morning prayer. Service for the least favored, an essential aspect of the Marist Charism, is a requirement to graduate. Yet, before I could walk and talk, I visited my ancestral homeland of India with my family. My Hindu faith is an inextricable aspect of my identity. Celebrating our Hindu festivals and chanting our prayers is as much a part of childhood and life for me as going to school every day has been. Attending Catholic school has not made me feel less a part of a community. It has given me a community. There are many differences between my faith and the Christian faith, but there are many similarities. I think growing up understanding tolerance in this way is an invaluable asset in today's world. I have grown up seeing the world from other people's points of view, as well as from my own. I have been raised to see that when it comes to the important things, we have a lot more in common than we don't. I have been able to teach my friends about Hinduism too. I think sharing ideas in this way is really something special. Ye Old Folktales, June 2023. Why the Termite Destroys Man's Property, a West African folktale retold by Naveen. Once upon a time, a horrible drought came to the land, such that food was scarce and worth many times its weight in gold. One day, as Cousin Spider was walking through the woods, he found a large gourd. He knew that any animal he came across would try to steal the food from him, and so he came up with a plan. He wrapped up the gourd in a bundle and put it on his head. He then began to walk home, weeping loudly, and telling anyone who inquired that he was carrying his dead grandfather's body. Everyone sympathized and allowed him to pass. However, Cousin Wolf and Cousin Leopard suspected that this was a trick and scared Spider such that he dropped his bundle and ran. They opened it up, found the gourd, and brought it home to eat. Spider was enraged and planned to get back at the duo. He made a deal with a small lizard and filed his teeth until they were sharp point. As Spider had instructed, the lizard made his way to Wolf and Leopard's house and asked them for fire. When they gave him a small stick with fire, he smiled and thanked them. Wolf and Leopard were amazed to see his teeth and asked who had sharpened them so finely. When the lizard told them that Filing Spider had done it, Wolf and Leopard set off for his house. The disguised spider told them he needed to hang them upside down from a tree to file their teeth properly, and they obeyed. As soon as they were hung, however, Spider called his family, and all of them laughed at Wolf and Leopard before going to their house and eating the gourd. The next day, the white ant, or termite, and his family came across Wolf and Leopard, who promised White Ant's family a feast if they helped them out of their predicament. White Ant bit through the pair's ropes, and they invited the ant family to their hut for a feast the next day. However, Spider had overheard this. The next day, Spider disguised himself and his family as White Ant's family and went to Wolf and Leopard's house. They enjoyed the feast and left. Later on, White Ant and his family arrived. Believing them to be Spider and his family, Wolf and Leopard poured boiling water on them, and all but White Ant perished. Furious, White Ant resolved never to help anyone but himself again, and to this day takes any given opportunity to destroy property. The end. Heedless Violence, Priceless Loss, Sudan's Civil War. On April 15, 2023, a deadly civil war broke out in Sudan. While the news continues to roll forward, the impact of the war hasn't yet faded. The war has taken a terrible toll on Sudan and its people. It is a reminder of the blessings of home and security, which are far from guaranteed for many. But there are some whom we consider heroes, who didn't consider the dangers to themselves should they travel not to help in Sudan, but rather the dangers to their people should they not. The Sudanese American Medical Association, or SAMA, and the Sudanese American Physicians Association, or SAPA, are two groups of medical providers based in the United States focusing on service in the nation of Sudan from which they hail. From firsthand experience, I can say that the efforts SAMA takes are truly astonishing. SAMA has donated millions of dollars worth of equipment, medical equipment, and essential supplies to the most desperate hospitals in states across Sudan. Trainings are led to equip Sudanese doctors for as many difficulties as possible, from trauma cases to situations in oral and maxillofacial surgery. From literally feeding the hungry and healing the sick, to finding a way to teach those on the front lines, SAMA has done it all. Now, though, they must bear a heavy loss, that of SAMA director Dr. Bushra Suleiman. Dr. Suleiman, pictured above wearing blue scrubs, was determined to serve, even returning to Sudan from the United States, despite the dangers of doing so. Though Dr. Suleiman's friends insisted to him that it would be safer in Port Sudan or anywhere besides the capital city of Khartoum, Dr. Suleiman insisted that service came first. He didn't want to leave, and that was the very reason he'd come back to Khartoum at all. Dr. Suleiman was a surgeon, traveling and working in the United States, but chose instead to return to Sudan to train other doctors. When his dear friend and SAPA general, Dr. Mohamed Issa, finally convinced him to leave Khartoum for Port Sudan for urgent reasons of safety, Dr. Suleiman reluctantly agreed. It was then that he was stabbed to death in an attempted robbery, likely as a direct result of the turmoil in Sudan. It is an immense loss, not only for SAMA and for the friends and family of Dr. Suleiman, but for the people of Sudan themselves, for whom the war is being fought for after all. Dr. Suleiman was trying to bring his father to dialysis. Such heartrending personal stories of loss bring another dimension to the suffering borne by Sudan. Life is incalculably precious, and in cutting it short, war is truly despicable. Dr. Issa, pictured above with Dr. Suleiman, is continuing his work, as are the many brave physicians fighting to bring aid and relief to Sudan. Many millions of people depended on humanitarian aid in Sudan before the war even began. Now, what will they do? Humanitarian work truly, truly means a great deal. To bring people access to those things that they have a basic right to, inspired by the story of Dr. Suleiman, we hope these efforts will never cease. Want to help? Visit https://sama, which is sama-sd.org/get-involved/. Now we have a rock painting exhibit featuring 4 rock paintings on one page and 2 more on the next, and a series of 9 rocks, which is a continuation from the previous month's edition. Wellness Central, June 2023, here's to health and happiness. How to get motivated. I recently saw a post on LinkedIn about an Olympian who had just graduated from college, and frankly, was awestruck. The amount of dedication and discipline it takes to train, and to compound that with the mental and physical toll of pursuing a degree, is kind of unbelievable. So what makes these startling overachievers tick? How do they push themselves to the limits of human excellence? With a schedule as packed as a student athlete or an Olympian, staying motivated is crucial not only to be happy, but to continue on at all. Part of what spurs these athletes on is what the activity means to them and their family. So, to stay motivated, remember what you've put in already to succeed, and remember what it means to you and your loved ones. Rationalize the importance of the activity. Do you run track because you love it? Is it because you need to live a healthier lifestyle? Is it because your parents have invested in your coaches and you truly want to succeed? Another way to stay motivated is to learn to love the grind, as The Atlantic puts it. The frustration and difficulty of training is something you must welcome. Finally, find a routine. Before each practice, remind yourself why you're here, then push yourself to excel. And that concludes Spirit's edition of June 2023. We are so grateful to you for supporting our work as readers. Continue to share the magazine with those you know, and continue reading Spirit. Wishing you a wonderful summer and a happy June. Appreciatively, the Spirit team.